In the day's other news, the death toll from the massive Beirut port explosion reached 154, with more than 5,000 hurt. More bodies were found today as French rescue teams and others searched the area. With that operation underway, the head of the powerful Hezbollah militia insisted that his Iranian-backed group is not to blame.
I wholeheartedly deny that there is anything that belongs to us in the port. No warehouse for weapons, rockets, no guns, no bombs, no bullets, no nitrate, nothing. Absolutely. Not now and not in the past. Never.
Lebanon's president, Michel Aoun, vowed to investigate all possible causes. An Air India Express passenger jet crashed and broke in two today, trying to land in heavy rain in southern India. At least 16 people were killed and more than 120 hurt. Doctors and rescuers worked through bad weather to reach survivors. The 190-passenger flight carried people who had been stranded abroad by the pandemic. Britain says that it will crack down on a wave of migrants crossing the English Channel from France. Authorities yesterday picked up at least 235 people in small boats. That is a one-day record. More migrants were found at sea today. British officials say organized smuggling and good summer weather are behind the increase. China has fired back after President Trump banned U.S. companies from doing business with the Chinese owners of WeChat and TikTok. New executive orders could bar distribution of the social media apps within the U.S. in 45 days. Mr. Trump charges that they share data with the Chinese government. But Beijing says that the accusation is baseless.
Under the pretext of national security, the U.S. frequently abuses its state power and unjustifiably cracks down on non-U.S. companies. This is a blatant act of bullying, and China is firmly opposed to it.
Also today, the U.S. imposed economic sanctions on Carrie Lam. She's the pro-Beijing leader of Hong Kong. She's accused of helping implement a tough new Chinese security law in the city. A federal appeals court in Washington says House Democrats may pursue a fight to subpoena former White House counsel Don McGahn. They want to know whether President Trump tried to obstruct the Russia probe. The White House argues that McGahn has legal immunity. Today's ruling revives the Democrats' lawsuit, but there is little time to resolve the issue before the current Congress ends in January. Jerry Falwell Jr. is taking an indefinite leave of absence as president and chancellor of Liberty University. The evangelical Christian school in Virginia issued a terse statement this afternoon. In recent days, Falwell apologized over photos he posted online. One showed his pants unzipped and his arm around a young woman. Wall Street struggled to make headway today as investors pored over the July jobs report. The Dow Jones Industrial Average gained 46 points to close at 27,433. The Nasdaq fell 97 points, and the S&P 500 added 2. And Brent Scowcroft has died. He was the only person to serve as national security advisor in two administrations. His first stint came under President Gerald Ford in 1975. He served again under President George H.W. Bush 14 years later. Scowcroft helped fashion U.S. policy on the end of the Cold War, the first Gulf War, and other critical events. And he remained a close observer of the world. In 2011, he talked with Jim Lehrer on the NewsHour about online organizing in the Arab Spring protests.
Now, the world is politicized. For most of our history, the average man didn't know what was going on in anything other than his own village, and he didn't care much. Now, everybody's within eyesight of a TV or earshot of a radio. They hear what's going on.
Or one of those little
That's right, little whatever, instruments. And they're activated by it.
Brent Scowcroft was 95 years old. Still to come on the NewsHour, Americans struggle financially as unemployment claims top 1 million for the 20th straight week. Ohio's Republican Governor Mike DeWine discusses the ongoing response to the coronavirus. an unexpectedly contentious election in Belarus could mean the end for a president known as Europe's last dictator, and much more.
This is the PBS NewsHour from WETA Studios in Washington, and in the West from the Walter Cronkite School of Journalism at Arizona State University.